With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
ABC. It's easy as 1, 2, 3.
Yep. Jay here for Full Time Devils. This is the Full Time Devils podcast. I think it's episode 27.
Yeah, 27.
Which is obviously my age. Joining me today is Carl from That United Family. Not this United Family, That United Family. Check him out on YouTube. He's got an absolute United mad family and actually a bit of a mad family in general.
Yeah, yeah, just yeah, in general.
If we're being honest, make my family look quite quiet, which is an achievement. And over there is the infamous Andy Tate. He's calmed down a bit since Sunday. Sunday.
See,
it all molds into one, doesn't it? All these. If you're wondering, by the way, why we're sat in some leather chairs, we're using a studio that someone else had used these chairs in. So that's why, in case you're thinking, who did he think they are? Why is he sat in like a leather throne?
I was sat in a leather throne.
Yeah, and we've stuck Carl on just some chair we found in the alleyway behind
the
studio.
For one podcast, can't
yeah, we can. It's part of Andy's demands. He demands a leather chair and a kind of pop as well.
And a Greggs.
Right, I don't want to go into it too much because we've done it to death, but we'll just briefly talk about Sunday. More or less the sort of the fallout that's followed from it. Some people are calling for Ollie's head.
Idiots.
Go on then, Andy, yeah. I'll let you come in straight on that. Ollie's out.
The Ollie out brigade.
He's actually a thing now. It's not a joke. I actually think it is a thing.
It is a thing.
And I'm just going to say this. You're all pathetic. Is it the fans who go inside the stadium? Maybe. No. It's people online who are tapping away at a computer screen. And you're, all right, you're watching the game. But do you know what's going on inside the ground? You know what's going on? Inside Carrington, no, you could sell, even Roy Keane said it, Solskjaer was fuming. You knew he couldn't keep a straight face on Sunday. So the Ollie out brigade, I'm just going to say this, get a life. You know what I mean? Rome wasn't built in a day.
That's it. I called them all out on Twitter. I know you might have seen it. I said, what did I call them? Pathetic Muppets or something like that. It's like, we've done the Saka managers thing. Do you know what I mean? Mourinho can help us and he's like the most decorated manager since Fergie, and in the modern day, our most successful manager since Fergie. He couldn't help us out. LVG's gone. Moyes don't really count. He's a bit out of his depth, I think. But,
yeah,
you know, Solskjaer, like you say, in his time, Rome wasn't built in a day. What he's done is he's done what we wanted. Some of the dead would have gone or frozen out. You know, he's looking to sell again in January. And, Ollie's not in charge of the transfers, is he? So he'll give a list to Woodward or the board. And then it's up to them to get it because he doesn't have a say. He only has a say on what targets he wants. So do you know what I mean? So I think the players that he has brought in with your Maguires, your Wan-Bissakas and your Dan James are the three shining lights at the shit show we've seen lately.
I agree. But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Yeah, because I'm not Ollie out at all. I agree with what you said. He needs time. We've tried the experienced manager of Louis van Gaal. We've tried the manager that wins everything with Jose Mourinho. We've tried the manager that's had a long stint at a Premier League club in David Moyes. We've tried briefly, we had Giggsy in charge, didn't we? Give it Giggsy to end the season, as a man once said. So now it seems like, okay, you bring someone in that knows the club, that's done a management as well. But is there an argument? I'm not saying all out at all, but is there an argument that, yes, we've obviously got problems with funding and all that, but is he the right man for the job in terms of, like, his experience or something? Or is do people have a point when they say, well, hang on a minute, his last managerial job was at Cardiff. His record over the last year, whatever, has been pretty bad over the sort of last, since we stopped winning all them games. I think we've not won away since Paris. Is there a case, not Ollie out, but he should face criticism. He should. He's a manager of Manchester United. He came in without a great managerial record in the Premier League, and his managerial record hasn't been great, so he should be held to account for that. Or should we be looking elsewhere?
He should learn from his mistakes. Now, he made mistakes Sunday. He's made mistakes in games this season. Like I say, Southampton game, no urgency there. Playing Matic Sunday with Mata when you should have given the kids a goal. Now, every man, even Ferguson, Mourinho, Van Gaal got criticised. You've got to take the rough with this move. And he's trying to install, he knows the values, what the previous managers didn't understand. Now, he's doing it. He may, like I say, baby steps, tippy-tappy, but he's going to get there. And if this board don't back him, and the farce that is the boardroom with Scrooge McDuck in charge, he'll be the four guy. And then it's going to turn...
Will he though, Andy, right? Because you say he'll be the four guy, but I think the Glazers are, regardless of the contempt I hold him in, I think they're quite savvy in a point, Ollie, because they keep him in charge, yeah? Like, if they sack him, sorry, then everyone's going to turn on them. So would they just say, right, we'll just keep him in charge? Do you think there's that, or do you think that they would get rid, because that's what they do?
Well, if you're a business, you're a kit manufacturer, you're a wine associate with Manchester United, do you want your brand associated with failure? Say, you're Real Madrid. Winning. All right, didn't do anything last year, but three Champions Leagues, you're associating with a kit brand. Your kit brand is out there everywhere. Now, do you want to be associated with failure season after season after season? Do you want to buy a wine that's associated with failure? You see the commercials. I've seen them on TV.
Remember that wine after
Fire.
That? They say he's Fire. A legend.
He's a legend.
Famous throughout the land.
Yeah, famous
Sorry
throughout
for that
the land.
Ridiculous every you impression, know. But you remember it.
Your history can only take you so skills. Far. If you want, you want to create and still hold on to the history, you've got to fucking add to it. And they're not doing it. All right, we've won a couple of trophies. And I'm not, I love winning trophies, yep. But they're not striving to do this. And the statement that come out Monday was, like I say, released previously. It was from a fans forum, and I'm not falling for it.
And I get where you're coming from. The timing of the release of it was bad because everyone assumed it was come after the West Ham game, but it wasn't. It was from the. But you're right. It was like we don't buy players for commercial and all that.
Bullshit.
Stuff. Yeah. If you're Ollie though. Carl, you're looking at it and you think, right, I'm going to let Lukaku go, I'm going to let Sanchez go. Should you not have expected that we struggle?
Yeah, we obviously losing, I've always said Lukaku's not a top echelon striker, is he? You know, he's world class at putting the ball in the net, but he's got nothing else about his game. Sanchez, obviously he's not done it since he joins. But obviously you're losing Lukaku, which is 40 goals since he's been out of the team, and you have to replace him. But I think that also comes, I don't think it's solely Ollie's fault though either, because the board are going, yeah, we want this one. And then our window's shut and they've gone, oh, do you know what? He's releasing data from training. He's fucked off to Anderlecht to train with them. Yeah. Just get rid of him. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not saying we should have kept Lukaku. I think he had to go. I think his attitude, he could see he was out the door. He was saying, tweeting things. I don't like talking about players' attitudes because I think it's a bit harsh. But if you're tweeting the things he was tweeting, it was quite obvious he wanted to leave. Yeah. And like, as you said, he's training with Anderlecht and all the rest of it. So I think he wanted to go. And I think despite his record on paper, his record last season wasn't good enough. But if you're going to get rid of a player that scored, I think, 42 goals in 96 games for Manchester United, which is quite a good record, if we're being honest. Yeah, I know there was, if you scratch beneath the surface, he didn't do very well in against the big teams, and he scored in fits and starts. He'd score like 10 in 20 or whatever, and then go 10 games without a goal. But if you're going to get rid of him, you've got to replace him, and that is what baffles me. And it's like, how much of a responsibility there has Ollie got? Because he's obviously let him go out on the fact, what, transfer deadline day
for us
in England, knowing full well I can't bring anyone in. Is that his responsibility? Or again, do you look at
that
Scrooge McDuck?
That
Ollie
was overruled by Woodward. That's the story on the grapevine.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard from in the city. Like you say, did you see the
Andy
rumors?
Andy Tate knows, right?
I don't know nothing,
he
but
does.
It's what you
Andy
hear.
Tate.
Solskjaer was overruled.
ITK.
Andy Tate.
That's why I had to come off Twitter.
Solskjaer was overruled by Woodward just to get Sanchez off the books. That's
right.
It.
Yeah. Because again,
his hands are tied.
I mean, Alexis Sanchez, again, you can argue, wasn't happening for him at United, and it wasn't. He was shocking.
Yeah.
But then, against West Ham, we had a situation where you had Jesse Lingard up front on his own.
Nothing wrong with that.
Now, listen, I'm stuck up with Jesse Lingard and all the rest of it. But you've got a player, right? Well, it's not his fault he's up front on his own. Why have we not replaced someone? Why have we not brought in someone? Or why have we let Sanchez go? You're telling me, I was hearing arguments on Twitter and all the rest of it going, Mason Greenwood's tonsillitis has fucked us. So a 17-year-old having tonsillitis is scuppered Manchester United's chances of winning a football match. Is that where we're at?
Not bringing enough players in, fact, this season.
Like I say, they spin the bullshit. We are not in it for commercial. It's rubbish. It's lies. They're just taking our money and milking it and siphoning it. They've not paid for this club. They're just taking out the revenue of the match days and taking this and taking that. So eventually, one day, the club will be broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you. And, you know, I think it annoys me. One of the things that annoys me is about full-time devils. We have this reputation. People say, oh, you don't speak out about the Glazers. Since we've started this channel, almost everyone we've had on it, including some ex-players, have spoke out against the Glazers. We've had Must on. We've had people who founded FC United. We've had, I know Must, obviously, people say, well, they were in bed with the Glazers, but I'm going to get to that later. But we've had various sort of fans on after the game, before the game. We've all spoken out. Andy's spoken out many times about it. We just give a platform to fans, and 99% of the fans we give a platform to are unhappy with the Glazers and want the Glazers out. So it's a nonsense to think we're any different. I think that we've always said, or I've always said personally, I can't speak for anyone else, I want the Glazers to go. I don't think they're good for the club, but we need someone to buy United. That's the issue. It's all very well saying we want them to go. The club's worth $3.5 billion now. It was $600 million when they bought it. So I want someone to come in with a load of money and buy United that's going to do things the right way. But that's what we need to happen.
I'll just give you the two examples, right? The two who are at the top, they show they care about the club and the fans. And sometimes they engage with the fans. You know what I mean? Liverpool and City.
They do.
This club just feeds us PR bollocks.
I think what I would say to that is, I would say both the owners of those two clubs, I would argue that I don't think Sheikh Mansour gives a shit about Manchester City fans, right? Mm. I don't think John W. Emery actually bought Liverpool because he's a massive Liverpool fan or whatever. I think they understand the value of keeping the fans on board, keeping the fans happy and keeping a successful team
that's
on the
good.
Pitch.
That's what they should value.
I think that's the issue. I don't think Sheikh Mansour woke up. I used to have David Brightwell posters on
but
his
But Mr.
Wall
Malcolm Glazier.
And watched the 5-1 well, video.
The three Glazier people and the stupid sister, they don't care about us. No. They just want to take loans out and siphon the money out and leaving it up in Florida.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's the difference. I think the likes of Henry and City owners have looked at him foot right. Obviously, the different reasons they've bought those clubs, but they've said, you know, a successful team, investing in it, it's, you know, it can give us the PR we want, it can give us the success we want, and it can give us the commercial deals we want. And Liverpool has started to rake in money now, like the, you know, on an unprecedented scale, almost matching ours at some point. I think their kit deal might be even bigger than ours, which wouldn't have happened if they hadn't been winning football matches. So
I respect that. I respect that. But at least they're giving something back and engaging with the fans. But our club is not.
It's funny you say that, because I saw a video of Andy Mitten and he was over in America. Remember when we played Liverpool?
Yeah.
In, was it Chicago? I might be wrong, I can't remember. We played them somewhere 2 seasons ago. Not last summer, the summer before. And Liverpool had like ex-players in like stalls, meeting fans, Klopp was out mingling, so you could get to meet him if you're a Scouser, you know, or a Liverpool fan, I should say. Go meet him. I don't think there's many Scousers in Chicago, but you never know.
How many Scousers get to Chicago?
Anyone who supports Liverpool tends to call themselves a Scouser nowadays, anyway. But they were making an effort, and United weren't. United went there, played a game, and fucked off. There was no PR, there was no mingling, there was no
interaction.
You might have the odd ex-player who's working for MUTV who goes out for a drink and says hello to people, but there was no planned PR stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, again, like, you know, that's Liverpool see the value in that, and then you've got loads of fans who feel engaged, who will go out and buy your shirts and all the rest of it, who will encourage their other mates to come and have watch, you know, Liverpool or whatever. And United is just like...
Just makes you feel closer to the club, doesn't it? It makes you feel closer to, like, the players.
I used to feel a bondness with the club in the 90s. I used to feel part of the club. Even when we won the treble, up till them Yanks took over, there was a connection with the club, absolute connection. Oh, that Martin Edwards wasn't a popular person, but he valued the club, he looked after the club. But now these, he just came in, loaded debt, oh, we'll siphon out the bank. So if it goes upside down, pear-shaped, who's gonna foot the bill? The fans, again?
No, you're right. That's the thing, and it's like, we've been in this, like, vicious circle a little bit, haven't we? And I think we've sort of got away with it in terms of
There's a war coming.
And I think...
And it's fans. It's going to be a fan war against the board. I don't know how it's going to
happen. How do you do it?
I think most of the war in a minute since between fans, though.
People say boycott the games, but how can you boycott the games when you love the club so much and it's so part of your ritual and a match day? It makes your weekend. You work hard 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and you spend your money to get your ticket and go to see your team, and you get shafted by a performance and you see it. It's all connected. The pitch, the board, a level. It's all connected. You see Ed Woodward. I don't think he didn't give a shit on Sunday. He just, him, and there was a guy with glasses. I don't know. He might be a secretary or a member of the board. He just didn't give a flying fucking fuck.
He's the first one that needs to go, though.
I'm sorry for swearing, but this is how I've been feeling the last 2 days. I'm sorry for swearing.
That ship sailed on full-time devils and swearing. I just remembered as well, I meant to do this at the top of the podcast, but we have been nominated for a Northwest Football Award. Thanks for reminding me as well, producer Nick. Cheers, mate. So the link to that is in the description. Listen, right, this is important, this. The Northwest Football Awards, these are the ones that matter, right? And we've lost twice now to Scousers, talking to Scousers. Redman TV, I think it was at one.
Yeah, it's Redman TV.
By a handful of votes, dozens of votes, right? So your vote matters. So unless you want to see more Scousers lifting trophies, lifting awards, vote for Full-time Devils.
Fingers crossed it'll be the only.
And there's other categories as well. Luke Shaw's up for an award. Mason Greenwood's up for an award. Katie Zellum is up for an award.
Yep.
So let's make it a clean sweep of United. So go into the link. It takes 30 seconds. Vote for us. Yeah. Let's... Never mind your Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues. This is the award that matters.
Plus, we might get a night out on it, so.
Yeah, he's
already got his night out. That's the first thing
I tweeted. Carl's on our league. He's already dusted off his court suit. Right, I've had enough of the Glazers in more ways than one.
Right, move on.
One thing, a bit of good news, shall we say, potentially good news, I say with cautious optimism, is safe standing. Now, I say it's good news because I think we were all chatting before, weren't we? We all used to stand at United when we were allowed to. I know some of us still do stand, but we all used to go in the standing section. I remember the last day of the standing section, the official paddock was Coventry at home, 1994. Right, that was the last game. Brian Robson's last game.
Somebody
well.
Let off a flare, remember it?
Somebody. Yeah.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it never is. But I used to love standing when I used to go as a kid. When I stopped going with my dad and I used to go with my mates, we used to go in the paddock, the scoreboard paddock, and I used to love it. And that was the last game of it. Now you can still stand up, obviously, in your seat, but it isn't an official standing thing. Now there's safe standing at Tottenham, I think, in their new stadium, where rail seats, and at Wolves, I think Shrewsbury have got it in League One or whatever league they're in. And now there's talk of it coming to Old Trafford. So, Cal, start with you.
Well, 1994, I was still eating fish fingers and beans, but I was only three. But when you go to like non-league games and that, you always stand up, don't you? And it's just better, isn't it? Like sitting down just takes away, doesn't it? It takes away from the atmosphere. It takes away from like getting involved. If you can stand up, you can go throw your arms around and jump around.
Just when in non-league grounds, you've got the option. You can sit in the stand. Then the second half, like I've done it with my dad. I sit down first half. Well, let's go and stand up for the second half. Get behind the goal. That's
you know what the trouble is as well when you've not got official safe standing is. We have it in our seat sometimes. Like, my missus takes my little girl sometimes. I've told my missus or whatever when we took some of the kids. And if some people are standing up, you might not be able to see. If you're in the seats and it's not meant to be the standing bit, do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you can just sit, get them to stand on the seat, but then someone behind might not
see.
When
you've got 6 foot stood in front of you.
Yeah, it gets all very confusing. And listen, you know, we all want to be able to stand up if we want and watch the game. So having a designated, actually, with rail seats as well, where it's not just you standing in the seat.
Some of the stewards are dead anal as well, though. Some of the stewards are dead anal. Like, even if you're celebrating a goal, you're not sat down quick enough. They're like, come on, sit down.
Thing
it's
is,
like, well, now you're taken away from it.
There's one near us who...
We talk about this safe standing, but it will never be pushed through. The government will never give the all clearance.
Well, aren't we there already, sort of, in a way, getting there? Spurs have got it in the news, Wolves.
Yeah, but are Spurs allowed to use it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, right.
They used it. I thought, is that allowed in the Premier League? You've got to be able to see it at stadiums.
No, but the seats there, the rail seats. So there is seats there.
Yeah, well, for concerts. I'm reading it here now, right? Here's what it says. United to undertake a detailed, comprehensive study, that's all in commas, inverted commas, into the feasibility of trialling rail seats at Old Trafford. Blah, 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 blah. A change in safety guidelines allows clubs to apply to put rail seats in stadiums when all attempts to persuade supporters not to stand have failed. Wolves have added rail seats to Molineux in the summer, while Tottenham installed them in their new stadium. United are speaking to both clubs about the management of such areas. So obviously it's happening there.
If they got that behind the Stretford end, it'd make a hell of a difference.
Exactly. Even if you just did like...
The lower bit
of the Stretford
just
end.
Just the lower bit.
And it'd be absolutely bouncing, wouldn't
we had Ian Sterling on from Must a few months ago when he was talking about this, because they've been involved in the discussions and all the rest of it. If you can have a look at that video, check it out. He was filling me in on how it's come about and what's happening. And we know why we got rid of standing. And I get it. Yeah, I'm not criticising the decision behind that. I can understand it. But now, you know, this is what, 20, 30 years on since that time. And it's like now there's a way of doing it and doing it safely where everyone's happy in this day and age. I mean, you can't really get in ground that ticket, you can't get, you know, any sort of, so you can't, you know, there's safety concerns that some people had, which I can understand, should be addressed, and I think they have been.
If looked after and looked at and done by the book, yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Because so you can have the option, yeah, I'll stand up for one game, I'll sit down for another, that's it. If it's implemented into the Premier League, you could say, have a sit down for Southampton.
It makes, and when it's
the derby, you bring out the standing and yeah, you get it packed and the place is bouncing.
Thing is, you go away, you stand up, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't go away and sit down. Do you know what I mean? That never happens. So, and it's obviously the away fans come to Old Trafford, they're all stood up. None of them are sitting down. Do you know what I mean? So people are standing. A lot of people at United are standing. We've got, you know, sections of United where people are singing and standing up throughout the game. So to make it actually... to make it a designated area with rail seats just makes a lot more sense to me. You know, and if Spurs have got it and Wolves have got it, why not?
Bottom bit standing and keep the seats from onwards.
Think of the Glazers out chants you could do from the standing section.
That'd be amazing. Hey? Get me in there.
Think of you singing Scrooge McDuck. Get rid of Scrooge McDuck.
Thunderbird head.
From the.
I'll tell you what, he'll get some shit Wednesday.
Do you reckon though?
Will there be anyone there Wednesday?
He'll get some shit Wednesday.
If you're listening to this, this is before the Rochdale game, by the way. If you're asking, wondering, why are they not talking about that loss to Rochdale?
I'm just saying there's potential for anarchy.
No, we're not advocating that, by the way.
Not advocating it, but it could turn toxic.
I don't know, Andy. I think, personally, that 2005 was probably the biggest opportunity or the one where it would have happened. Like when FC United was formed and that happened. Now, I'm not saying people, I'm not dismissing these boycotts. And, you know, if your Glazers out and you're doing a boycott, I get it. And we've invited people on who were behind them and said, you know, we can come on the channel and tell us your reasons behind it and encourage people. We've had people on it who've spoken about it as well. I'm not dismissing it or criticising it. I just worry that or wonder whether 2005 was the opportunity when FC United were founded, when we could have maybe stopped the Glazers.
2010 was an opportunity.
Yeah, 2010 with the green and gold.
That should have pushed through.
The only thing I can say about now that might give us a bit more hope is the fact that fans are getting pissed off with the lack of success. Because in 2005, we'd gone 2 years without a title. In 2010, we'd gone one
I'm
year.
Saying
we'd
this
we'd
now,
won the title the year before.
I'm saying this, like I say, I've heard all Sunday. We ain't going to be top six this year. Nah. That's it.
Not even with Daniel James?
You can't.
Hey, we've had him Wan-Bissaka.
A whiz kid. He runs his art. He was my man of the match Sunday.
He was
this team will not finish in the top six. That's it. It'll be the lowest position since 1990.
We were in a relegation battle. We finished seventh under Moyes.
Yeah. We were in a relegation battle up till the last month of the season, I remember it. I remember a relegation derby, 1990.
That's probably not
I remember that. Glenn Blackmore scored 3 minutes, Ian Brightwell equalised, and we were both still struggling to the last five games, and we both finished 13th and 14th respectively.
He remembers it well.
I'm showing my age.
It was his 30th birthday.
Yeah. I was 15, my friend. And we won the FA Cup, and it all started from there.
We never looked back.
But that's it.
Listen, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn, so you never know. But look,
what you said though. The like I say, the fans are not going to buy this forever. Yeah. You can spin as much PR bullshit as you want, Mr. Ed, and your media department. We ain't fucking buying it. We didn't buy it yesterday. We ain't going to fucking buy it forever.
I can't wait.
What did you make of changing tack slightly? You'll see, this is a seamless little segue that I often do.
I'm just going to say, I just love my club. That's it.
We know you do, Andy.
I love my club, and people come at me for it, no, but I don't care.
You're one of the, you know, people forget with Andy as well. People think like, oh, fan cams get a bit of a reputation, fan channels and all the rest of it. Andy used to come and watch the fan cams for months before he actually spoke up, and then, you know, you sort of...
I'll say this now, right?
You
I spoke out.
You did.
I was working there, and I lost my job for it. Now, doesn't get really mentioned this. I lost my job for it. It cost me everything. Everything. But I got back on board, but it cost me. So like I say, I spoke out, lost my job, I moved on.
And you struck a chord with a lot of what you were saying, because regardless of how supportive you are of the manager, when obviously that all blew up with Moyes, we all knew he was out of his depth. And now we've all known for years that Woodward's not up to the job, is he?
He's the first one that should go. He's employed four managers. We've been failing for God knows how long since he's.
But Gary Neville said it, and he won't. I know people say Gary Neville.
Why don't he pick a team? He wants to be the centre of attention now. And all signing autographs. I remember Webby saying it.
Weren't people getting photos with the Glazers in Barcelona last year?
I remember
seeing pictures of that. Which.
Why don't you start picking a team, Ed?
But these are the only outs. These are the ones going, get them out, get the manager out. Cough, get the manager
just
out.
Just because you have a nice cushy trip to Barcelona. Yeah, we want to play Barcelona every season, but we ain't going to be playing at the new camp for a long, long time.
Did anyone watch, just to change tack slightly, as you interrupted me last time I was trying to do this.
Right, well.
The FIFA Awards, did anyone watch that?
No.
Did anyone care?
No. I'm just glad Virgil
van Dijk. That's the end of that. That's a new section on the Full Time Devils podcast, the FIFA Awards. I know we don't care, right? But I found it quite funny because I was reading something, and I'm reading it now, actually, Messi won, didn't he?
It was FIFA's best player, wasn't it? Best player.
Right. But I think the funny thing is that Messi picks Ronaldo as in his top three, but Ronaldo didn't pick Messi.
This is after Ronaldo saying they're like good mates and that.
This is what I'm putting.
He's a sly little dog, is that, Ronaldo?
I know, but I just, you know what? I love that about Ronnie.
He's gone, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's all about him, innit? Come on, like. And the thing is, like, Ronnie, he used to be a bit all about him when he was at United, but it didn't matter because he's winning those football matches. So if he's having a shot from 40 yards out and it's going in, you don't care.
He's only one player in the last 10, 15 years, if you got it.
He won the Ballon d'Or with United, right? Let's not forget, we also won the Champions League and the Premier League that season. So don't know, you know what I mean? If he's doing it for himself, but he's also winning loads of trophies for your team and scoring 42 goals in the process.
Won them back.
Do you know what though? It annoyed me that Messi won it.
We got Jesse Lingard. Don't need that, you know what I mean?
The thing with Messi is, right, I know Messi's a good player. Yeah. It's a pretty uncontroversial statement. But he's just he's let us down a couple of times, Messi, hasn't he? Like, he turned up against us in two Champions League finals, right? In a big way. Didn't turn up against Chelsea at the New Camp when they went on to win.
Didn't turn up in
the
World Cup final.
Didn't turn up against the Scousers last season.
In the World Cup final?
I don't care about that. But do you know what I mean? It's like Chelsea and Liverpool wouldn't have a Champions League or an extra Champions League if he'd done his job.
He even did it the last time he played at Old Trafford a couple of years back. He did nothing all game and then he fucking...
Oh, yeah.
He just nicked up, scored a goal and then left and they went, ah, fuck's
sake. He didn't turn up at Old Trafford, that because Smalling elbowed and smashed him in the face.
That's how you deal with it.
Scored that day, though.
No, not Old Trafford.
No, he didn't.
The return at New Camp last season, he did.
Yeah.
Two Ashley Young mistakes.
Leave Ashley Young alone, right? Just give him a bit of time. He's a young lad. He's coming. He'll come good.
Ashley Young?
Just needs a bit more game time. That's all it is.
Change subjects again.
Jesse Lingard.
Good prospects. Good prospects. Hang on a minute. Oh, as breaking news, I think. I don't know if it's breaking news. I've just been sending it. This is Manchester United reports fourth quarter and full fiscal year results.
Here we go. We've made a shitload of money. Not invested it.
The highlights, I've just been sent this. We've signed three new first team players, completed several, you see, this is fucking bad already, isn't it? Completed several key player contract extensions.
Yeah. Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, you know what I mean?
Oh, here you go. Do you know what? I've been gutted about City winning the title and the Scousers winning the Champions League, but now this just makes up for it. 10 new or renewed global sponsorship deals for the fiscal 2019 year. Global fans and followers increased to 1.1 billion. New EPL broadcasting cycle with improved international... With improved international distribution rights begins 2019-20. And your mate, Ed Woodward, Scrooge McDuck, as you call him, has said, "We remain focused on our plan of rebuilding the team and continuing to strengthen our youth system in line with the philosophy of the club and the manager. This is reflected in the recent addition of three exciting first-team players, key player contract extensions, and the talent we have coming through our academy. Everyone at Manchester United is committed to delivering on our primary objective of winning trophies, regardless of Andy Tate's concerns."
And there is your PR bullshit.
I can't be bothered going into all this.
Just more PR bullshit, just like Monday.
Don't worry, fans, we're invested in the club and the youth that's coming through is going to win us all the trophies.
Yes.
In 20 years.
There'll be no Premier League title for the next 10 years. There'll be no Champions League.
It says as well here, right, here's another one. It says revenues of 627 million. I don't understand some of this, so forgive me. I'm not an accountant. I'm a maths. I barely scraped. I did get a C in GCSE maths.
So how much of that's going into the first
team? A lot
of that
was copying as well. My mates at work. An operating profit of 50 million quid. Well, there you go then.
Don't you mean 73 million quid?
I don't know. That's what they said.
Lukaku, you know.
I only read what's
on my phone. So if it's a 50 million profit, where's the other 23 million gone?
I don't know. There you go. Controversy. I don't understand how these things work.
I don't know mathematics.
All that nonsense tells me is that despite 10 minutes ago I was all saying Woodward's under pressure, he's probably not.
He'll get a pay rise again this season.
He don't give a fuck.
He'll get a pay rise this season.
He doesn't
I'm
care.
I'm telling you now, the Glazers will be looking at them finance reports before they're looking at Manchester United's football results. So
I'm going to say this, we're not going to win the league.
Well, there's a controversial statement. That's up there with my Messi. That's up there with my Messi. He's a good player.
We're not going to win the league for the next 10 years.
No, it's up, man. No.
Neville says we're two players away. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
Two players?
Two, three players.
Two dozen players.
He said this on Monday Night Football the other week. He compared this current crap of this team with the 93, 94 side, the class of 92, and they had four or five players of hardcore experience. There's nothing there.
One thing, we discuss this all the time, and we were having a chat about the class of 92 and whether this crop of youngsters could be, as you were just mentioning then, the new sort of class of 92.
It could be.
You know, the likes of Chong, Gomez, maybe Garner you could throw in there, Greenwood obviously. We're all excited by these players. There's another couple ones that are just under the radar as well, the likes of Levitt as well. So you look at it and you think maybe we've got, you know, a crop. But as we've often said, people forget about the class of 92. In 94, 95, before they all broke on, Gary Neville had sort of come in and taken over as Paul Parker, taken over right back as Paul Parker. Nicky Butt had been getting some experience in Europe because we had the free foreigner rule. David Beckham had gone out alone and come back and got some first team experience. They'd been in and around the first team. Giggs had played in the first team for three seasons or four seasons, whatever it was. So it wasn't like, you know, in 95, 96, they all were just thrown in and then we won the league. They'd been building up to that.
Nurtured.
And, yeah. We also had Roy Keane. Cantona came back off his suspension in October. We had Schmeichel, Pallister, Bruce, Irwin. You know, you had talent there. Do you know what I mean? You had experience. You had title-winning experience.
Them figurehead players.
The thing is now, the talent's there.
Yeah.
They Liverpool bought a goalkeeper, two other players, and all of a sudden they've gone to potential title challenges and potential winners. That's what's somewhat on the level we need.
You need to buy ready-made players.
Right, they're not going to go and spend money willy-nilly, I know that, but they need a midfielder, they need a striker, a winger, they need three experienced players, maybe four, but they're not going to get it. I accept that all in one window. Bruno Fernandes in January, I tell you what, that could save our season. We could finish mid-table and when you... No, I'm just saying...
Right, okay. Like, no, the only reason I'm laughing is because...
You know, Bleak...
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing almost with tears of sadness running down my face. And in fact, in September, we're already talking about the January transfer window to save our season. What? And that just shows you where we're at and the management that's gone on. And I don't mean...
This is what it is.
This is what
we could be mid-table by in January.
Do you know one thing, though?
Out of both cups, and all we've got is throw everything into the Europa League again.
There's several worries I have, right, with the situation we're in and about this crop of youngsters. Which we're almost at a point now where we're relying on them already.
Yeah,
Greenwood, we've said, is injury or is illness, didn't you? Tonsillitis at West Ham could cost us a game. Shouldn't be relying on him. By rights, Greenwood should be playing 15, 20 games this season. And
you
he's probably going to end up
that?
Playing
That's
30.
A pathetic excuse.
Well,
you
a lot of people were
that.
Saying it. It's pathetic. You're already looking at someone like... I've already seen people writing Chong off, right, saying he's not up to the job. And I've been critical of him myself, saying I don't know if he's quite at the levels of Gomez and Greenwood, the rest of it. But let's give him time to find out. But we're probably not going to get that. He's probably going to get thrown in this season or whatever. And then...
Gomez is another one who could destroy him.
Yeah, that's my thing. That's my point. You know, you're looking at, you're thinking, these players could end up playing a lot more than they should be, with a lot more pressure on them.
And
not just playing
these young
as
kids,
subs, but starting what, games
what
with people
for guidance
looking at
and experience. And what we got a bleeding slow tugboat at 31 years old called, you know what I mean, Matic. And he's done nothing. Matter. I would say keep him. He gets the club. He's still inspirational. He can, like I say, play right. All right, he didn't play well Sunday, but I would keep him. Ashley Young, sorry, lad. I'm not going to fault your commitment, but you're on your last legs. But there's nothing there to give the kids guidance and push forward.
You need decent experience.
Basically, the kids are on their own because they're not going to get anything from them fucking experienced players.
If
they've washed their hands of the kids will go, like, fuck you then.
You need experienced players that have got ability. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. The ones that we got experience, but the ability's gone. There's nothing there. So you need these experienced heads to help the young lads
James
out.
Milner. You know what I mean?
Exactly. He still does a job, though, doesn't
he? City had Vincent Kompany. He's gone now. Look, City,
David
a little
Silva.
Bit dodgy at the back. A little bit still dodgy. But they're still knocking him in for fun.
Yeah.
Just before we get on to Wally the Week, one game we've got coming up, because Rochdale... It's, as we're recording, it's like tonight, so we're not going to have time to really... By the time you listen to this, probably that game could well have been and gone. Looking ahead to Arsenal. Now, they're a team that, a little bit like us, have had ups and downs. Quite fortunate I fought against Aston Villa last week. Is that a top four, 6 point, or is it a top six, 6 point, whatever? Is this a game where, if we are to realistically have aspirations, or are we being a bit giddy because it's still September?
They've got a spirit there. So come down with 10 men. There's a spirit there. There's resilience where there's nothing at this club. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he's a top four. I will say this now. Arsenal got a better chance of us than finishing top four this season.
You reckon, do you agree with that, Carl?
Yeah.
You've got Aubameyang. Yeah. You've got the other players up front forward. You know, Lacazette. And they bought all right. Pepe, yeah. Their defence is still...
Still ropey as fuck,
still ropey as fuck, you got Louise. You know what I mean? But
ours is reversed,
though, isn't it? They've got a better chance than us. Of course they have.
It's reversed to us. We look like we've got a half decent defence.
I get the impression, though, it's almost like it's top four is anyone's, mate. Like,
Spurs
aren't having a great... I know that they were third up until recently. Spurs have looked a bit ropey. Pochettino's not happy. Chelsea, actually, if you look at Chelsea's record, it ain't great under Lampard.
Well, no, they've not won a home game yet. And they're below us, haven't they?
Yeah. They got knocked out of the... They've not got knocked out, sorry. Lost the Super Cup. Lost in Europe. Lost to the Scousers. Lost to us 4-0. drew Leicester, I think.
Yeah.
Threw away a lead against Sheffield. Was it Sheffield United?
Yeah, 2-0.
So they're not having a great start. Plus, they're on a transfer ban, so they can't rectify it.
Look at their kids. Yeah. Chelsea against Wolves. How was that? Do you know that first goal? I was like, whoa, I applauded that. As soon as it left his foot, you know it was in.
Do you not think he's got a harder job than Ollie, though, Lampard? That team won the Europa League last season, because
they're on a transfer embargo. The fans understand now. There's no pressure on him.
They brought Pulisic in, because he was agreed before the ban, so he's come in to replace Hazard.
Well, I think what people forget with Chelsea is they had 19 players out on loan. So they brought back Abraham. Mm-hmm. They brought back Mason Mount. Was he on out loan? Yeah. They brought back, I know he's not really done that well, but they brought back Kurt Zouma. Yeah. They could bring all these players back. They still got, for me, one of the best midfielders in the league in N'Golo Kante.
Yeah.
I love that man. Even though he's a Chelsea player and I shouldn't say that. I'd love to have seen him at Old Trafford. It was someone else who was saying they thought we could get him in the summer, but I thought that was nonsense. So just quickly, are we going to beat Arsenal?
No.
No.
What's three no's? There you go. Do you know what? I'll say yes just to have someone saying it on here. We can't have a podcast of three United fans saying we're all going to get beat. Wally of the Weeks.
I am Adam McCullough.
Mr. Tate, go on. Who's your Wally of the Week? Is it the usual?
The PR bullshit guy at Man United. That's all I'm going to say.
Fair enough. Carl?
All the Ollie outers that hammered me on Twitter over the weekend.
All the Ollie outers.
All of them, every single one of them. Not just one of them.
That's my motto.
That's it.
My Wally of the Week is... I don't know where to go for it. I've got a few that I could say. Sam Quek is my Wally of the Week. If you know who Sam Quek is, she's a Liverpool fan who plays hockey. And she's always having digs at United and saying stupid things. She's been at it again on Twitter.
Are you not blocked by her yet?
I am blocked, but...
I've seen you retweet her loads of times, like loads of comments.
She blocked me when I pointed out that her article about Paul Pogba was just ridiculous. She said he was the worst, laziest player in the league. And I have an issue with certain people using those terms or how we use them against certain players when we don't actually do our research. Anyway, just before we do go, Carl, where can people find you?
That United Family on YouTube. Just search it, you'll find us. And I've got an interesting video coming tomorrow actually about opinions on Ollie. Even the kids are getting involved. Honestly, it's going to be chaos. And at Mr. Carl Edgar on Twitter.
And he takes on the Insta, man. He's all over his Insta.
I've actually hit 10,000 people, and I just want to say...
literally. In the last two days, in Manchester, Stretford Arndale.
I just want to say thank you very much. And it's just a bit of fun for me, Instagram. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, look, you can take the mick out of me, you can love me or hate me, it's up to you, but I would really thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can give me abuse, you can praise me, but I'm just in it for the fun and I love my football club. Thank you.
Well said, Andy. Don't forget, as I said earlier, to vote for us in the North West Football Awards. We are up for, I think it's Best Fan Media Channel. We're up against others, including Liverpool ones, so we want to beat them. Because they beat us last time.
And other channels.
A handful of votes.
Right? Other channels.
So your vote does count, man. Come on. Get behind us. If you like the channel. You know what? Even if you don't like the channel, just vote for us anyway. Come on. Help us out. This has been episode 27 of the Full Time Devils podcast. We are on Spotify, SoundCloud, Audio Boom. Check us out on Audio Boom, on iTunes.
Pornhub.
Andy's on Pornhub, we're not on Pornhub.
I'm joking, I'm not.
And don't forget to give us a rating, give us a like, subscribe, all the stuff. You know what to do. I don't need to tell you what to do. And obviously on the YouTube as well.
Support the channel.
So support the channel and thanks for listening and watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.